Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, sun and clouds, will have a high near 64. Kenosha right now 38 degrees, 41 in Burlington, Milwaukee 41, it's 39 in Racine. There was talk about possibly rescinding the vote to fund the Phase 1 study on the proposed event center along Racine's lakefront, but the Common Council as a committee of the whole had no recommendation to the full body afterward. Alderman Sandy Widener, who said she supports the concept, just not the reality, with the city's current financial status, felt it should be at least delayed for a while.
And I don't think that some of the arguments that were made by individuals that spoke before the council 2 weeks ago regarding if we pull back on a developer, that no developer is going to want to do business with us. Because if you look at the history that ICC Corporation worked with this city and county for 2 years, and we pulled out on that developer, and we still are not having a problem getting other developers wishing to make a contract with us. So I don't think that should really be an issue.
Mayor John Dickard countered claims about the city's rising debt and that information about the project was not being provided.
We restructured our debt to a point where, if you look closely, just about disappears by the term of 2030, and in the next couple of years it goes down to one of the historic low levels. Why does it do that? We structured it so that we could take on more capacity because, as Alderman Shakur, who has been one of the visionaries since then, in 2009 with the rest of this council, who have been supporting new developments and growth, we structured this debt plan so that we could have capacity because we knew that we needed to redevelop.
Development Director Amy Conley indicated the study is about 40% to 50% complete at this point.
Just based on the amount of work that has to be done and the deadlines we have to meet. For example, today we just had a meeting where we discussed the test fit of the building on the site. So architecture is more than 50% done. A lot of the structural engineering is done. So quite a bit has been done just in the last month.
The only public comment about the issue came during the regular council meeting from Dennis Monty, disputing all the financial claims made by the alderman and again promising not only a referendum but also threatening recall, stating, quote, "Stop now or we'll stop it for you," unquote. Now, former Racine Alderman Mike Shields did not attend his final council meeting last night due to a death in the family. He was the only incumbent to not be reelected. Recognition of his years of service may still be scheduled at a later date. Tonight's meeting of the new Racine Council will include the swearing-in of the aldermen from the odd-numbered districts, and that would include newcomer John Tate in the John Tate II, that is, in the second, the third district. A choice also for council presidents on the agenda, and that's going to take on new significance with the eventual resignation of Mayor Dickard this summer, the leader of the council to become the interim mayor until a special election. Alderman Dennis Weiser, currently the council president, indicated he would seek the position for a third straight year. More passionate pleas last night in Kenosha to allow First Step service to remain open, heard by the city council, along with calls to close the homeless shelter at 1017 63rd Street before the aldermen unanimously voted to approve the license renewal, but subject to a revocation hearing. One of the volunteer spokespersons for the shelter is Bob Waldron. He urged the aldermen to either approve the license or to defer action until a special hearing later in the spring.
Now, I know many of you are saying, Bob, we've been here before and we've heard this before and we're tired of this seemingly unchanging situation. Well, let me just say, you aren't half as tired about it as we are. Now we are having new players step up to the plate. It's regrettable that it has taken a possible shutdown to convince the public and the government that First Step and the lives who depend on First Step need help badly.
Alderman offered just few comments before the vote, Mayor John Antaramian cautioning that only the license renewal issue was before them. The revocation hearing now that could begin as soon as next Monday evening. Recommendation of the License and Permit Committee after the hearing would return to the full council for a final vote. Lydia's Law, as you probably heard, has been fixed now, Governor Walker signing that bill into law yesterday at Veterans Terrace in Burlington. The bill named in honor of Lydia Schaefer, a 7-year-old Burlington girl who had seizures and who died after being unable to legally obtain the drug CBD oil treatments that would have helped her. Before her death and after, the girl's mother, Sally Schaefer, worked tirelessly with some other parents around the state to persuade lawmakers to support the legalization. Shortly after the bill signing with the governor, Schaefer told reporters she wasn't bitter about the delays in getting the law passed and the problems fixed.
I don't blame the physicians, the legislators, or anyone for the death of my daughter. I am her mother.
In a bit of heads up, lawmaker Schaefer hinted, though, she might be back. Lydia's law legalizes possession of CBD. Parents still need to obtain the drug from out-of-state sources. President Trump, as you again has heard, going to be in Kenosha later on today, going to be making a stop at the headquarters of Snap-on Incorporated. Among those invited to attend, Gateway President Brian Albrecht, who issued a statement calling it an honor to be a part of the president's visit. Meanwhile, after that bill signing ceremony in Burlington, Governor Walker took know that Wisconsin is a leader in manufacturing in the U.S.
Us in Indiana are the top two states in the nation for the impact of manufacturing in the economy. We've also been, over the last 6 years, in the top 10 states in terms of new manufacturing jobs. So it's both a part of our heritage, but also very much a part of our present and even more a part of our future.
Governor's going to be there, but some Kenosha aldermen were not invited, and they're not happy about that. Like Scott Gordon, he's not happy. The city's all the people really just got snubbed.
Now, I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, an Independent, a Libertarian. He's coming to talk about promoting manufacturing. In this city, who's the one that votes and makes these votes to bring manufacturing to the city? It's this body.
Meanwhile, Gordon called it incredible and troublesome that the show will go on without them. The Racine Common Council, with some minor discussion, approved rezoning of the former Sunshine Market building at 16th Street and Taylor Avenue from community shopping to general residential. Deputy Development Director Matt Sadowski talking about that particular building and not those attached to it being targeted so as to gain control for any future commercial use.
Really what it amounts to is how to better the area. One way to get better control on that property so that we can have better say on what's happening at the property is to put it into the R3 classification so that any new use that comes around for that property would be treated as a conditional use permit.
By changing the zoning, any business, including another grocery store, would not be allowed a liquor license, which was part of the problem that led to the Sunshine Market's closure as a nuisance property. A Milwaukee Common Council committee delays a vote on the permit that's needed to allow a strip club to open up in downtown. Now, the issue was supposed to have been voted on by the full council today. Instead, the hold is going to allow local business leaders to find another home for the club and is hoping to open up on North Old World 3rd Street. Meanwhile, a five-story building in Milwaukee going back to the late 19th century sold recently. That's going to be converted into apartments. The building is in Walker's Point. It'll be the home to about 20 one-bedroom market-rate units. No word on when the construction is going to begin. Racine's Traffic Commission going to wait on some additional information before deciding if a traffic safety modification might be needed at the intersection of Lombard Avenue and Erie Street, where cars struck a house twice on separate occasions. Alderman Melissa Lemke saying that more than one constituent raised concerns about traffic issues in general on Erie Street.
Concerns about speed in the area. There is a house that's on the corner of, it's 601 Lombard, it's on the corner of Lombard and Erie, which a constituent reported to me that a car has hit their house twice. There's another house on the corner of Erie Street and Carlton, it's on the northwest corner, that's also reported that there has been a car in their yard, and they have since installed boulders in their front lawn to avoid their house being hit or something similar.
Chairman Charlie French felt that a police department history of that area might help determine a better course of action.
Instead of going with a full-blown study, if we have things that are 3 years old right now or going on 4 years old, and we pretty much have a rule saying, and we didn't do that particular intersection, but we did everything north and everything south of it, in that one block area, nothing's going to change too much.
City Engineer John Rooney noting a 2013 traffic study of that area suggested no need to create a four-way stop, and a police speed trailer showed up, nothing extreme. The request for a traffic study got deferred pending more information from the police department. A man from Pleasant Prairie charged in Racine County Circuit Court with a couple of misdemeanors of disorderly conduct. He's accused of jumping into a car seeking a ride, then trying to get into a second vehicle. Court documents have Brian Everton jumping in front of a vehicle in the 2500 block of Spring Street last Saturday, forcing the driver to abruptly stop and demanding that he be given a ride. Driver said he began to climb into her car, offering her money to take him wherever he wanted to go. When she said that she was calling 911, Everton left the vehicle. Then a second person traveling in the same area said that Everton jumped in front of her car, tried to get into the passenger seat. She was able to lock the doors and drive away before he got inside. Yesterday in court, Beaverton pled not guilty to the charges. He'll return to court for a pretrial conference in May. And Kenosha County this afternoon is going to recognize the third recipient of the Connie Reyes Award for Excellence in Efforts Against Child Abuse and Neglect. Reyes was Division of Children and Family Services employee when she was murdered back in 1990 as a result of her job. County Executive Jim Cruiser says that honoring Reyes includes recognizing all the dedicated individuals and organizations that do this important work every day. Ceremonies at 4 this afternoon at the Kenosha County Human Services Department building in the Common Area. That's on South Sheridan Road. WRJN.com is our webpage where we keep our newscasts in the local news section. At WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.